Hi everyone, and welcome back to the Product Marketing Insider podcast, which is brought to you by Product Marketing Alliance. My name is Bryony Pearce, and I'm the content manager here at PMA. This week's podcast is sponsored by Product Marketing World. For those of you who haven't had the pleasure of hitting up one of their events yet, Product Marketing World runs product marketing summits all over the world. In each city, they unite hundreds of product marketers and put together lineups including speakers from companies like Google, Uber, Twitter, and Yahoo, to name just a few. To see if they're coming to a city near you, head over to their site, productmarketingworld.com. To help establish and elevate the role of product marketing, we're on a mission to speak to 50 PMMs and pick their brains on everything from their journey into the industry, which teams they interact with most, what skills they believe are critical for their role, and a whole load more. To do just that, with me today is Karim Zuri, Global Head of Product Marketing and Research at Safety Culture. Karim joined Safety Culture in October 2018, and before that, he spent just over 3 years at Expedia Group. Anyway, enough from me. Welcome to the show, Karim.
Hi, thanks for having me today.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure. We're really excited to have you here today. To kick things off, could I just get you to please give everyone a bit of an introduction to you, your role, and a bit about the company Safety Culture?
Yeah, sure. So my name is Karim. I pronounce it as Karim because I'm French-Lebanese. I live in Sydney now, working for Safety Culture for around 15 months. I work for this company as their head of product marketing and product research. It's actually a scale-up company, so we are around 350 people across the globe. It's a company that is valued around $650 million Australian dollars today, and it's a B2B business. SaaS model based with a PLG model. So we say it's a product led growth model because we have a freemium and a free trial of our premium. And what we do is actually helping companies digitize their inspections processes and help them actually do better product quality inspections, safer workforces, and also making their operations run much more smoother and better across a lot of departments.
Okay, great. Thanks for that. I'll kind of go back to Safety Culture again a bit later on, but just to rewind to the start of your career, what made you want to become a product marketer in the first place?
Yeah, actually, I'm an engineer from background. I did study computer science and electronic engineering. So as soon as I said this, it makes a lot of sense to say that I work in product marketing, maybe. Maybe not. So I actually finished engineering and I didn't want to be an engineer. Joined a management consulting company in France, and I started working with them on different projects that were at that moment 10 years ago or 11 years ago now, more focused on IT transformation projects. So rolling out big IT systems to help the businesses with their core systems. So I worked with retail, with insurance, with energy companies, and I started looking at what I can be helping these companies with from a consultant perspective. And it always came back to the product strategy. So working in all these assignments made me realize that what I'm interested in is actually not the consulting only, but also this helping the product, helping roll out this product strategy across the business. So when I finished with that, I moved to a tech company called Amadeus. Amadeus is a platform that connects travel agencies with airlines and hotels, and make this connection between them, helping see the price, the schedule of the airlines, the flights, et cetera, et cetera. So I worked there reporting to the VP of product management and helped them as well with the product strategy across the whole portfolio. And then I moved to B2B only with Expedia, helping the branch called Agencia on product marketing aspects, helping with the lodging offer. And then I went to the end of this experience with working on segmentation, helping identify who are the ideal customer profiles, where is the sweet spot for this business, how can we grow the business the most sustainable way. And across it, along this journey, I was realizing that product marketing is evolving. It's heading towards this product strategy side of it and helping the product manager find the best product market fit and helping them as well with research and analysis to get this adoption happen afterwards. So yeah, started as an engineer, management consultant, and then product strategy. And this is where I am today with the product marketing.
Yep. And would you say then, so you mentioned you started with engineering, to get to that progression into product marketing, would you say that was quite self-taught or?
I think that to be a product marketer that is a very strong product marketer, you have to have a lot of knowledge that are technical and very tech savvy, and also interested and curious on what you are selling, on what you are actually marketing and pushing to the market. So the side of the technology understanding and the technical side and the analytical side is extremely important. And this is where I see a lot of value today in my career, because I use a lot of the frameworks and the knowledge I learned as an engineer and apply them now to this technology companies.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then in terms of your direct team now at Safety Culture, what does that look like in terms of numbers and roles?
Yeah, so my team today has two parts. You got the product marketers and the product researchers. So we got three people in the product marketing team and two people in the product research. The product marketers are more, let's say, looking at the go-to-market strategies and how we work with the marketing team and the go-to-market team. So sales, customer success, and support. And on the other side, we have more the research, the marketizing, the analysis of the opportunity itself, building the business case, and then go to the product team, pitch some ideas, pitch some recommendations, show and surface some insights to get them on board on a new feature that we have to build or a new opportunity that we should translate into a feature. So, the team is split into two parts, the inbound, the outbound. The outbound is more about the go-to-market strategy, and the inbound is more around the analysis, the research that feeds into the product roadmap.
Yeah. And then just focusing on that research element, what are the main tactics that you use to gather that research?
Yeah, so I think of research from three elements. The first one is the market, the second one is the customer, and the third one is the product. And at each phase, there are different tactics and different methods. So when I'm looking at the market, I do marketizing, I do market research on competition. So it's more like desktop research and estimation and building of a business case based on the numbers that we have online. How big is this? What is the problem that we're trying to solve? Then when I move to the customer research, I start looking at surveys, I start looking at interviews, I look at focus groups. I also look at the data that we have in our systems. Today we have 25,000 customers and around 600,000 users. So I have a huge database that I can look at, send queries and understand their engagement, their profitability, their behavior in the product, their demographics. And this is where I look at the data from like a segmentation perspective to understand the sweet spot. Now, when I go to the product, I continue with prototyping. I continue with mapping. I continue also with deeper interviews and surveys to understand what the feature that we have to build should be looking like.
Yep. And then you mentioned that you then go to the product team with the results of this research. What's your relationship with the product team like, and are they usually quite receptive to your findings?
Yeah, that's a very good question, actually. So I feel I'm very lucky because I'm in one of these companies that are very tech-driven, and we report today to our VP of product. So we are part of the product organization that has three big roles, the product marketers, the product managers, and the product designers. And we work in a triangle, the three of us together. So we agree on what we want to research ahead of time. We kick off things. We look at the problems that we want to solve. And then the product managers expect from us some analysis, expect from us some research. So they are waiting for them. And then we discuss, we tweak together, and we plan based on them. And we involve the product designers as soon as possible to try to visualize as well what we are looking at and what we are thinking. And we have a big customer success team that also go through our prototypes, give us feedback before we start building anything. So I feel like we have a very good foundation where everyone gets on board very early and know what we're doing. And the product managers themselves are the asker or like the demander of these researchers. So they are really happy with the results and they are expecting it anytime.
Yeah. And then you mentioned you report into products. Out of curiosity, when you worked at Expedia Group, who did you report to there?
Yeah, that's a tricky question because, so I'm going to answer it very frankly. When I joined Expedia, the product marketing team was reporting to SVP of product. And then what they try to do is actually having marketing, the whole team of marketing reporting to the product SVP. So they mix product and marketing under this SVP of product and marketing, and then they moved marketing under, they moved product marketing under marketing. Mm-hmm. So it still was reporting to product as an umbrella, but with a CMO that is reporting to the SVP of product and marketing.
Okay, then how did you find that? Did that work or?
Yeah, I think it's a challenge to have product marketing, to be honest, reporting to marketing, because they can do an okay job helping with acquisition and growth strategies from this perspective. But where they are needed the most, I believe, is actually helping with the market product fit. We have a way of researching. We have a way of thinking that is very unbiased. It's not towards any goals or any quota that the marketing would have. And we don't have this this appetite to build cool stuff for building cool stuff. So we sit in the middle between marketeers and product. But if we are working closer to product, we are much more efficient, because I always say something that I maybe saw from someone else, which is user adoption is not an afterthought. You have to build it from the first day, and you have to build it in the entire experience from day one. And actually, you cannot build a product and then see if it's okay for the users. You cannot build something and then test it on the people. You have to think about it. You have to reflect of the problems you're solving first. And then user adoption comes as a natural result. So I believe when you're working with product first and thinking about this market product fit, I always say market product fit and not product market fit, because you look at the market first and then build the product. So if you are working in this situation, you are much more efficient than working with marketing on the strategy. You can do a good job at marketing strategy, but if you didn't build the right product, you cannot have an efficient strategy anyway.
Yep, that makes a lot of sense. And then next up, I keep asking this question in these series and I get the same sort of answer. But if there is such a thing, what does a standard day in your role look like? And are there any sort of constants to it?
Oh, I don't think we have a routine. And honestly, in my team, we have a lot of areas that we look at. As I said, market research, product research, customer insights, go-to-market, adoption campaigns. So depending on the phase and depending on the season and how fast we went with something from product delivery or how big are the goals of marketing, we align and we start shifting our focus towards these goals. I'm always trying to align my team's goal with the company goals. So I shift a lot towards these goals, and the initiatives look like what these goals are asking for, instead of actually keeping with an agenda. So we are very adaptable. And I think we change a lot sometimes our directions to make sure that we are complying to these goals that are the biggest one of the company.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And in terms of those phases, like how often would you say you launch new products or features?
Yeah, today we are, as I said, 350 people, and half of our teams are in the technical side, so engineers and product managers. So we deliver a lot. We have a lot of releases. It's a SaaS model. It's cloud-based, of course, and then there are releases almost every day on the app, on the website. So we have small ones, big ones. We make sure that everything is communicated to the customer through different channels, through emails, through in-app messaging, through webinars. I don't know if I said webinars yet, but we try to communicate them depending on how big the launch is. And I would say every year we have maybe two big launches. And then I would say migrations, rollout of small features that we try to make also the customers aware of in a good way as well. Yeah, two big ones, and then smaller releases almost every week or every month.
Yeah, and then I see a lot of kind of conversations in Slack about launch tiers and how do you know how big to go on a launch. In terms of your launches, like what's your criteria and how do you determine what scale to go with that launch?
Yeah, I would say that the best assessment here is actually to look if it's a new product, new area that you haven't actually offered before. So that's actually a creation of a new category in the market. You have to build credibility and awareness. You got also a feature, which is a a lower impact, but it's still very important. So you have to explain what it is. It makes sense in the product, but it's not a category. So there's less effort around awareness and credibility. It's just a continuity or like a next step for the product. And then you have small releases that are increasing basically the how a feature work, make it actually more seamless, make it more intuitive. So I would say that are three tiers maybe. The first one is about a new category, an expansion to a place where you haven't been before. And the second one is a feature, and the third one is a small thing to improve the experience. In our company today, for example, we focus on inspections. This is the core experience of our product, iAuditor. We are expanding this offer to incident reporting and training. These are two categories that we have to explain. We have to build credibility for. If we build a small feature in the inspection area, that's less effort in terms of credibility, awareness. So there is less effort in terms of go-to-market and launch as well.
Yep. And then when you're building out the content for these bigger launches, how does that process work? So, for example, is that content that product marketing would build, or is it something that you would brief into the marketing department?
Yeah, that's a very good point. Where do we stop and how can we work with the marketing team is something that we always look at. So what we try to do is, because we are part of the research process and because we are kind of helping with the decisions around the roadmap of the product, we try to involve the people that we're building as well with us the content from the start. So we have what we call the focus briefs, and we have also the meetings that are preparing the teams that will be helping us from the beginning. So we involve marketers, we involve the video content team that we have internally, and we start briefing them. We start preparing them that this is what's happening, this is when it will be happening, and how we can start together building the lifecycle campaigns. How can we start campaigns of maybe lead generation, what is the content that we need, and then actually have them take care of that. So we give them focus briefs and positioning documentation and have them actually plan the campaigns, the programs, the channels, etc., etc. We have some recommendations on the tone, on the narrative, and the channels, but we let them all the freedom of picking the right options for each topic.
Yep. And that kind of leads me nicely into my next question. So in terms of teams outside of product marketing, like sales, product and marketing, for example, which departments would you say you interact with most on a sort of day-to-day basis? And then what are your relationships with those teams like?
Yeah, I think the team that we work the most with is definitely the product managers. Then you got the product designers. You got also the analytics team. The team that provide us with a lot of insights and looks at the customer base from data perspective. So we work a lot with them, the internal analytics team. We got a big part of our role that is connecting us with the world and the customers. So we work a lot with the marketing team. We try to a certain extent help with the enablement of the customer success and the account executives, which is the sales team. And we have a responsibility of having the support team always aware of what we're doing and help actually enrich our knowledge base with all the information.
Yeah,
I would say that I would rate the relationship at maybe 9 out of 10. Mm-hmm. With almost all the teams. The team that we struggle the most with actually is, I would say, the marketing team, because we cannot sometimes be very, very, let's say, fixed with the dates. So sometimes we get some disruption in terms of delivery, and this is where it goes a bit more difficult. But even with them, I think the relationship is getting better and better, and we have clear, let's say, lines of responsibilities. So we have people coming, we have people leaving, and with the new actually people and new leadership, it's getting much more stronger and much better relationship today.
Yeah. And then in terms of that kind of those conversations you have with these other departments, what does that look like? So, for example, is it a case of, do you have meetings, like recurring meetings in the diary, or are these random desk drops, or like how much structure is there to those?
Yeah, so each person in the team has a focused area, which is a business focus. So is it market research? Is it customer insights or product adoption? And the other part is actually a focused area of the product itself. So each of them would have meetings regularly and even part of the stand-up of the tribe. So the product marketing manager and the product manager and the product designer will meet with the engineer sometimes, speak about the most important topics. So that's like almost daily. And then we have weekly meetings with marketing. We have almost bi-weekly meetings with the GTM team. It depends on actually the how busy the season is and how much work we have in terms of releases and where the resource should be actually at that moment.
Yeah. And then you mentioned a few minutes ago that everyone has kind of clear lines of responsibility. Kind of ties in nicely to this question. So would you say there's a lot of crossover between what you do and what a product manager does at your company? And kind of where do those lines begin and end?
Yeah, let me see. I think product managers are the best people who know the complexity about our product, the dependency between all the areas of this product. And also they have this by nature excellent project management skills. And they work very well with the engineers and they keep everyone on time and they make sure the deliveries happen. And we got basically the strategy side, helping with the insights, the analysis, bringing new opportunities. So this is how we build basically the balance between these two teams. Of course, sometimes the product manager want to have some research and customer interviews. And we encourage that because they need to meet the customer very often. So there are some parts where it's part of the research that the product manager need to do as well. So this is where I think there's a crossover, but it's not actually a bad one. It's a complementary one, I would say.
Yeah. And then if I remember right, before we started recording, did you say you had calls with people in the UK?
Yeah, so I got a person in my team that is sitting in Manchester. That was our first attempt of globalizing the team. Yeah. So we are headquartered in Sydney. Our biggest team is in Sydney, but we have three other offices. One is to service our North American region, so it's based in Kansas City. Manchester is our headquarters for Europe and Middle East. And then we got Manila to help us with expansion in APAC as well as the support. Yeah. And the customer service. So we started now looking at our product marketing function from a global perspective. And this is where we sent the first person, Garrett, who is sitting now in Manchester. And I'm planning to have a person in each of these regions gathering more insights on the market, understanding it, having customer calls, research, region-based research that feeds into the product plans and the strategy.
And then how often are you on the phone to these people in different countries? And then how do you find managing those time differences?
Being in Sydney is a curse, even though it's like the beach and the sun, etc. It's very hard. We sit in a different time zone, of course, and I wish the Earth was flat, but it's not. So sometimes my days start very early. I would say sometimes around 7 a.m. and then finish late, but I'm very flexible at work. And so I try to have like my time in the middle of the day sometimes and, have some life outside of work for sure.
Yeah.
But because we are exposed to all these departments and we feel like we have obligations to all of them, this makes it harder sometimes. And you have to speak to them because the relationship is the basis of the trust. And the relationship is the basis of the better collaboration.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I should let everyone know as well that Grim has very kindly taken some time out at 20 to 10 local time in the evening to do this for us. So thanks again for that.
Yeah, I'm very excited about the Product Marketing Alliance, to be honest. And what's been going on is incredible. And it shows how much there's hunger in this community to learn more, to level up, to expand the scope, the impact around the business. So I'm very excited. And I think jumping on the phone for Product Marketing Alliance at any time is a pleasure. We started actually helping here, for example, in Sydney. And we are really excited to see how many people are interested in joining. We have a meetup in 2 weeks where 76 people just have registered. So it's exciting. And I think there was a need. And I think this alliance has found the solution for it, hopefully.
Thank you. That's always nice to hear. So final few questions, I'll keep you up too much later. What would you say the top three skills are that have helped you get where you are today in product marketing?
Okay, I think I will say that product marketers are the people that can find a topic, and even though it's a very complex topic, they make it simple, and then they make the simple appealing. So I think this is how I would say that three skills are laid out. Is first of all is be very strategic and look at things from a very different perspective from others. So the strategic side is extremely important. The second one is be analytical. Think of data. Try to ask the question from different angles and try to confirm it with hypotheses and observations and, with experiments, and also look at the data. Ask the data. Look at quantitative and qualitative at the same time. Don't make assumption too quickly. Be factual. And the third one, actually, be a storyteller and have the people get onboarded in your initiatives, influence the decision, and don't try to be going too much into the operation side, but have actually people helping you amplify what you find and what you think is the right things for the business. So strategic, analytical, and then a storyteller. Mm-hmm. And these three things will make you kind of the pillar of the business and have the business make decisions and have trust in what you're saying and come back to you more often and see this value as a big value for the business and have you build the trust with the business and make you grow afterwards.
Yeah. And would you say these are skills that you've learned over the years or things that you were just kind of born with, so to speak?
I would say I was lucky that I studied engineering, and this is where I got the analytical side. I was lucky that I worked in management consulting, and I gathered the strategy a part of it, and being now in product marketing, I built this storytelling. I don't think there's a recipe. There is like a magical recipe for it. There are ingredients that you can gather over time. You can build. You can practice. There are so many courses online. There are also a lot of content and people that speak about things in a very good way. There are podcasts. You can build this over time, and no one is not actually capable of doing this, I would say.
Yeah. And then penultimate question. In your opinion, what do you think needs to change about product marketing, if anything?
Oh, a lot of things, I would say. I think the biggest part, I would say, is looking at the product marketers that you have hired in the past and see how you can do the work with them is not the right approach. I would say start with the goals of your business. Look what you need. Look what you want from a company and then hire for these goals. So so the skills of product marketers should be leveled up. I think there should be a direction that we should all take and fight for. There's an element around the product market fit that I am a big believer that is a big responsibility of product marketers. I think we can do an okay job at many, many other functions in the business. We can do demand generation, maybe. We can do customer marketing. We can help with acquisition. But all these efforts could be very okay job. Whereas if we are the strategic people that can help on the product roadmap, the strategy of the company, we can actually make better impact at the business and drive the most of the value. So I forgot the question already, but I think I was just saying that, yeah, there's definitely a need for leveling up this function. There's definitely a need to look at our skills differently, challenge some of them. And in nature, we try to get everything on our side, and we want to do everything. Let's get some things to the other teams, have other people responsible of other things, and focus and build for the impact on one or two things instead of actually being spread across so many initiatives and so many skills.
Yeah. And then you touched on there kind of being strategic and influencing the product roadmap. How much influence would you say product marketing has on the roadmap at Safety Culture?
Again, because we start our research based on some requests and we align from the beginning on our planning, I would say today we have a big influence on this. I would say around maybe 7.5 to 8 at least today. And we have identified a lot of processes and areas that we want to work on this year. So I'm starting the year at 2020. Of course, we're saying I will go more to the gym, but also actually saying that this relationship will be even better and we will hit the 9.5 and 10 with the product team, and hoping as well to hit the 9 by the end of the year with marketing.
Yeah. I love all the ratings you give them throughout. They're super useful. Final question. If there are any new or aspiring product marketers listening to this podcast right now, what would your advice to them be?
Focus, do less stuff, but bring bigger impact. Focus on the areas that connect directly with the company goals. Bring data and know your audience. I think one of the things that we always pitch, but we don't enough do, is actually knowing our audience and speaking to our audience. So we do it very well externally. And when we speak to customers, we analyze the personas and the profiles. But when we're speaking to people in the business, we have to be much more tailoring the message to them. So when you go to marketers, speak to them, their language. When we ask analytics team, try to find the main language that we have to speak to them with. Talk to the product managers with data, with facts. Bring every discussion to the level that it needs to have, it needs to be at, and know your audience, focus, be analytical, and be strategic.
Okay, that's great. Well, thank you so much for that, Karim, and thank you for taking some time out for the evening to chat to us today.
Yeah, thank you again for having me.
It's been our pleasure.
For everyone still tuned in, thanks so much for listening, and if you enjoyed the podcast, please help us spread the word to other product marketers. Before we leave you to get on with your day, if you want to get involved, here are a few ways you can. If you're a product marketer and you want to come on the show and speak about your day, a specific topic, or your role in general, that's one option. If you want to flex your podcast hosting skills, being a guest host is another. And finally, if you or your company want to sponsor an episode, there's a third. Thanks again, and have a great morning, afternoon, or evening, wherever you are.